Why don't we go ahead and get started? Great. Well, welcome everybody to EXM 07, our exam prep session on the private cloud exams for the MCSE track. My name is Keith Mayer. I'm a technical evangelist at Microsoft. And a lot of people ask, well, what is a technical evangelist? I was a trainer. I've been a trainer for 20 years. But in my current role, I'm a Microsoft resource, a technical resource out in the field, working with IT professionals like yourselves to help you guys understand and get certified on our latest Windows infrastructure and cloud technologies around System Center, around Windows Server, around Azure. How many of you have gone looking for study materials for these two exams? And how many of you have found study materials for these two exams? They actually do. That's the good news. My strategy as an evangelist at Microsoft is I have to take these exams as well when they first come out. So last year, when I was going through these exams, I compiled all my study materials that I personally used for studying and testing against the exams and aligned them to all the objective domains. And they're right out here for free. So you can download those study guides at my blog at keithmayer.com and step through the study materials that tie back to each specific objective domain. So in our session today, our goal, you know, we only have 75 minutes, so we're not going to be able to make you private cloud experts if you haven't touched System Center yet, but our goal is really to give you a strategy and help you assess your preparedness and identify areas on the exams that you may want to concentrate on. And then those study guide materials that I referenced out on my blog, you can download those immediately after the session and begin leveraging them to get prepared. And if you feel comfortable, you can go right across the hall and register at a 50% discount for one or both of the exams this week. You can also register online if there's a big line over there and you don't want to wait. So that's kind of our goal, to kind of dissect the exam and make sense of it, to give you a study strategy in our session today. And along the way, if you've already begun your studies and have questions, we can certainly target those questions because I'm already certified. I've already gone through the exams myself, and so I've got a good basis of that. So the exams that we're talking about are part of an MCSE program on private cloud. So MCSE is not like the old MCSE. It's the Microsoft Certified Solutions Expert now. We can't use the word engineer in certification titles any longer. But it's designed as one of our certification paths, kind of in the middle of our pyramid, to build on the MCSA credential on Windows Server 2012 or the MCSA on Windows Server 2008. So it's a little different from some of the MCSE programs in that you don't necessarily need the MCSA on 2012 to go this path for MCSE. You need at least 2008 or 2012 MCSA in order to get there. At some point, there's been discussion around a master program for cloud, but it's kind of on hold right now because the cloud is changing so quickly that by the time a master program gets created, the cloud would quickly outdate the material and the certification program. So right now, when we talk about cloud certifications from Microsoft, this certification is the top end of the pyramid. But keep your eyes open. Over the next year or so, you might see some of that change. No promises, but you might see some of that change. So those are the certifications. We're targeting MCSE Private Cloud in this session. But a lot of what we talk about will also apply to the MCSE server infrastructure. So before we got started today, we were talking a little bit ad hoc with those that came in early, that the server infrastructure program has two exams in it as well. It's targeted more towards Server 2012 and kind of a physical to medium virtualized environment. But the second exam of those two in the series has a lot of System Center questions and objective domains on it as well. So by attending this session, you're actually potentially helping yourself prepare for a couple different certification tracks. So private cloud. There's a lot of questions around exactly what private cloud is and what System Center is and how it aligns now. So this is a great slide because it talks about all of the System Center components. And guess what? The entire System Center suite is part of the scope of this exam. So when we talk about private cloud, we're talking about not just heavily virtualized environments, but environments where you're taking a very different strategy for architecting a data center, a strategy that's componentized. into scale units, where those scale units are made up of storage, compute, networking, all put together, management, all put together on a modular basis. A lot of organizations are doing it on a rack-by-rack basis so that they have the ability to easily roll in to their data center, kind of a pre-made reference architecture when they need to expand capacity. So in doing that, instead of managing just a bunch of VMs, which is what a lot of people think about today with private cloud, it's actually taking, and I apologize for some of the slide overlap, it's taking your physical infrastructure and collapsing it down into these scale units. Now, when we look at this slide, you'll see injected here all of the system center components for doing the various aspects of management, provisioning, configuration, protection of your private cloud. There's 8 system center components in total. However, having said that, there's one system center component that's really, really key in building a private cloud, and that's Virtual Machine Manager. So my suggestion is when you're studying for these exams, spend your deepest study and amount of time on VMM, on Virtual Machine Manager. And then after that, my next deepest area that I would recommend is Ops Manager. Those two are critical components to building an effective private cloud. Now, the other components, Config Manager from a compliance management standpoint, Data Protection Manager from a protection and backup standpoint, are also very important in provisioning and managing that infrastructure. And when we get into automation, Orchestrator and Service Manager are very important. And from a self-service standpoint, App Controller as well. So these other components are important, don't get me wrong. But really the goal in the exam is not to go down to a level 400 depth on all of the components. For these other components, it's really to make sure that you understand the broad functioning of each of those other components and how they integrate with one another. So for instance, Service Manager is a help desk service management and provisioning solution to allow end users or business unit leads to submit requests that require IT assistance. That system center component can be connected through a set of integration packs into Orchestrator to perform the provisioning in an automated fashion. Orchestrator, in turn, can connect into Virtual Machine Manager to tell it how to provision the virtual machine and storage and virtual networking components. So you want to have the sense of what those components are, how they function, and how they integrate with one another. So VMM and Ops Manager are the key ones. Now, the other piece to keep in mind with these exams is that these exams are based on System Center 2012 RTM. The original release of System Center 2012. Since the RTM release over a year ago, so back in April of last year, there's been some really exciting new changes with System Center 2012, right? In January, we released SP1, and here at the conference this week, we're announcing R2. Microsoft Learning, from a certification strategy, generally does not, they take the approach of not updating certification exams for point releases of products. So they don't update the exams for SP1 and R2 releases. As a result, you want to kind of, when you're studying for this exam, you want to kind of shove all that stuff around SP1 functionality and R2 functionality on the other side of your brain and keep squarely focused on just the RTM features. When you go out to some of the online materials on, say, like the TechNet library at technet.microsoft.com, they'll have at the top of each article a note that tells you whether the information applies to System Center 2012 or System Center 2012 SP1 or both. And so that's a good rough indicator to know. Am I looking at something that's unique to SP1 or not? The other piece that I would recommend, this is a lot of software components, right? These used to be 8 separate products. The only way that I've found, personally, to be effective on understanding VMM Ops Manager and the other components from an integration standpoint is to build it out in a lab environment. So just by, these are not exams that by reading material, you're going to be able to easily pass. You need to really set up a lab Doesn't need to be a very large lab. You know, a lot of people look at these 8 components and they say, oh my gosh, how many machines do I need in my lab? You can actually do almost that entire lab on one machine, as long as it has enough memory and it has enough CPU horsepower to run 10 VMs. So you're looking at about 10 VMs by the time you have Active Directory, SQL. SQL is used as the backend database for all the components, and then each of the 8 system center components. So in my lab environment, I have a dual proc PC that each proc is quad core, and I've got 32 gig, and that's pretty functional for preparing a System Center 2012 private cloud environment. More memory is always better, but that's the best way of being able to target that. Now, from a VMM standpoint, remember, this is the biggest area that you want to focus on from a technical depth standpoint. And what I see a lot of people doing when they're trying to study VMM is they set up a very basic VMM environment where everything's kind of running on one server. It's not the way to do it. As you're going through the process of building out your lab environment, you want to make sure that you're understanding all of the components that make up VMM. So my recommendation would be build out a management server, build out a, you know, you have to build out a database server, put that separate like you would in a real environment, not on the VMM server. The library server is effectively a file server, and then you've got update servers. Question?
So I know that Hyper-V cannot yet do X64 hypervising inside X64 hypervising.
You can't. So the question is, can Hyper-V nest hypervisor within a hypervisor,
yes,
essentially? And right, the answer is no, it can't.
Because I have built a similar infrastructure with basically using VMware as the raw hypervisor,
mm-hmm,
and then VMware on top of that.
Yeah, so from
I needed to do it with a machine with like 128 gigs of RAM.
So you don't need that much RAM, which is good. You don't need 128 gig, but what you can do, you can build out this lab environment without nesting hypervisors. The way that I build out my lab is I have Windows Server 2012 Hyper-V as the host OS, and each of the System Center components are VMs. VMM is actually managing the host that it's sitting on, which typically in a production environment you wouldn't want to do, but in a lab environment works fine. Yep, good questions. So we're going to take a look at each of the exams, step through them, talk about some specific areas that you're going to want to target, and also talk about what to think about as you're looking at the objective domain. So Microsoft Learning does a great job with certification exams of preparing an objective domain document for each exam. The objective domain document lists out the specific exam objective areas weighted by percentage of coverage within the average exam. And if you go out to the exam page for any Microsoft Learning certification exam, you can drill right into this information. It actually goes a couple clicks deeper than just this top level set of exam objectives. It goes down to sub objectives, and in some cases, more specific sub objectives, if you will. So for the first exam of the two, the 7246, monitoring and operating a private cloud, there's 5 exam objective domain areas, and they're each weighted approximately equally. But if we look through these, let's just talk about these objective domains first, because one of the things that I find useful is to compare these and these exams back to the main System Center components that relate to each of these objective domain areas. So when we think about configuring data center process automation, what component do you think that that's relating to in System Center? Orchestrator, yep. Orchestrator, service manager, and potentially a little bit of VMM, because VMM also has automation that it can do inside of a service template or a VM template for deploying scripted application workloads or whatnot. So those are really the three. Orchestrator's the kind of the key one there, but the other two are there as well. And then let's look at these next two items, deploy resource monitoring and monitoring resources. So what do you think? Ops manager, operations manager. So as one of the conclusions we can draw here is operations manager is almost half. It's 43%. of this first exam. Well, my recommendation then is think about your System Center experience to date. And if you have really strong experience in Ops Manager, this might be the first exam you want to target. But you don't have to target this one first. If you have much better background in VMM, the second exam, the 247 exam, actually targets a lot more around VMM. And you might want to take that one first, based on where your comfort zone is, to give you time to prepare. So a lot of Ops Manager. Configure and maintain service management. Service manager, yep, I heard it. And then manage configuration and protection.
DPM.
DPM for protection, yep. And how about this one? Config manager. Yeah, we can't say SCCM anymore, unfortunately. It's another product. Config manager from a compliance management and update management strategy. That's what we're looking at in Config Manager primarily. So not the whole, Config Manager itself is really complex. It's primarily from a compliance and update management standpoint. Whereas 247, as we look at that, we've got, this is focused on configuring and deploying. So I always thought it was kind of screwy, really, that they have the exams ordered like this, because I've always taken the approach of, I'm going to build it first, and then I'll manage and monitor it second. But that's the way it is. It's kind of backwards, if you ask me. But good news is, like I said, you can take them in either order as long as you complete both. So configuring and deploying a private cloud. So design and deploy System Center. It's kind of a red herring. That's like everything. It's the basics of what the system's requirements are and what the deployment guidelines are for every System Center component that's listed in that previous diagram. So when you're preparing for this one, unfortunately, the best news is go through the requirements and the deployment guides for each of those components to do the deeper study. But the best way of really preparing for this area, this is building your lab environment. Because until you build your lab environment, you're not going to have a good handle on these pieces. So after that, we've got configure System Center infrastructure, configure the fabric, and then configure and deploy virtual machines and services. What do you think? Fabric, virtual machine, services, which System Center components? VMM, yep. So this, a lot of this for the second, third, and last objective domain is VMM. And then configure System Center integration, that's talking about those integration points largely between Service Manager, Orchestrator, Ops Manager, and VMM. So configuring them with integration packs and integration connectors is what that last one is. So, if we start off with our first exam, we'll go through these in a little more detail, breaking them down, and then we'll have some practice questions along the way as well, and we'll see how you guys do. And maybe, who knows, maybe you're ready for tackling the exam. Has anybody built out a private cloud lab or otherwise with System Center yet? So a few of you. So you guys have a head start from that standpoint, so that's great. So, for the System Center 246 exam. We've looked at the exam objectives. We're going to tackle these one at a time, go through them in a little detail, give you a little bit better understanding as to what each of these objectives are covering, and then talk about any questions that you guys may have, as well as for each objective area, have a practice question that we run through together. So for that first objective domain, data center process automation, as we said, it's largely around Orchestrator. And when we think about Orchestrator, well, the pieces that we really want to focus on here are workflows. So Orchestrator, think of it as a data center workflow engine. It's designed to automate all those complex manual processes that normally have to take place in a data center. It's also designed to automate remediation of issues that arise within your data center. So think of Orchestrator as a way of automating what a lot of us in IT used to build manually as standard operating procedure documents. Instead of building those documents and following the steps manually, Orchestrator has the ability to build out what we call runbooks that process through a workflow of executed steps for automating data center operations. It can also integrate with Service Manager. So as it finds a problem, Service Manager can raise an incident that triggers a remediation action from Orchestrator runbooks. Now, as you're preparing for the workflow and runbooks in particular, what you'll find is that just this one area is a really deep area. I mean, this is like something that people spend, in some cases, weeks on perfecting runbooks. For this, the purposes of this exam, don't get into the weeds on every single toolbox item that you can add into a runbook. What you want to do is have a basic perception of, in Orchestrator, here's the tool that I use for opening a runbook to design it, Runbook Designer, and here's the basic process that I would use for building a generic runbook that does something in an automated fashion. You don't want to get into the weeds of, hey, here's the 60 different activities that I can put into my runbook, and here's the way I can script it and all that. So stay at a pretty high level from that standpoint. From a service manager standpoint, you want to think about it from the standpoint of implementing service offerings and integration with Orchestrator. So again, service offerings, you can have all kinds of customization around. You don't want to target creating your own customized service offerings. You want to look at it from the standpoint of implementing basic service offerings for requesting a new virtual machine from a template. That's kind of the key aspect of Service Manager in a private cloud provisioning scenario, and that's kind of what we're getting at here. So the workflow would be that we have a service offering in the service catalog. Someone, a user, goes into Service Manager's portal, the self-service portal, requests that from the service catalog, and that service offering, that request, gets created as a service ticket that initiates the Orchestrator runbook workflow. So it's kind of can be kind of complex, but at a high level, it's pretty easy to kind of get the basic understanding of how everything connects together. So keep in mind that it's not particularly called out, but Virtual Machine Manager also has, as we mentioned, process automation in it. It has the ability to do automation within virtual machine and application service templates. Does anybody know what an application service template is in Virtual Machine Manager? Yeah, definitely. So the answer was it's basically a template that defines the roles that are installed as part of a virtualized application. So unlike VM templates, where it's basically a template for building one VM, an application service template can be a template for an entire multi-tier application. We have web, SQL, maybe some middleware components and whatnot. Each of those tiers can have logic to scale up or scale down. And within each of those tiers, you can have additional scripts and images and applications that are deployed to automate the provisioning process. So here's a sample question on automating the provisioning of one of those application services. So you're currently planning your private cloud deployment, and you wish to include SQL Server VMs as a component in the library. So VMM has a library of different templates and images and scripts and whatnot that it can deploy for virtualized applications. The question is, what must you do to the SQL Server VMs in order to create a SQL Server profile? The profile specifies the instructions for automating SQL Server inside that application service template. Now, it sounds kind of complicated at first glance, but really, the secret here is behind the scenes. The answer isn't all that much different from how you would automate a SQL Server deployment in the physical world. So we've got some possible answers here. Install SQL Server 2008 SP2. Remove all non-system tables from the databases. Create a sysprep version of SQL 2008 R2. Or create the VMM table in the master database on the SQL Server. What do you guys think? Which one makes sense from an automation standpoint? If you've automated any type of physical or virtualized applications or operating systems. C, very good. Create a sysprep version of SQL 2008 R2. SQL 2008, 2008 R2, and 2012 have the ability to do sysprepped installations. When you go through the SQL installation wizard, you can basically do the installation to the point of installing all the bits but not provisioning your SQL instance. Then you can sysprep that. So C was the answer. So the takeaway here is knowing how to deploy and automate not only the infrastructure, but the various types of common VMs. And in the System Center Virtual Machine Manager TechNet library, there's actually some really good information. That study guide I mentioned at the beginning of my session that you can download from my blog actually points you directly to that information. So deploying resource monitoring is the next objective area, and about 20% of the exam. And what we're targeting here is deploying end-to-end monitoring of both the physical and virtualized aspects of our private cloud. So deploying it and configuring it. They've separated it out into two separate sub-objectives because there's one set of steps to deploy agents for end-to-end monitoring in a variety of different scenarios. And you want to know how to deploy those agents to domain-joined components, to non-domain-joined components, and to components that are out in a perimeter network where there's a firewall that's isolating the management servers from what they're managing. So keep in mind, those are the three common scenarios that you want to have in your mind for deploying and configuring those agents. The other piece that, remember we talked about this being related to Ops Manager, that Ops Manager offers is the idea of not only monitoring infrastructural components and virtual machines, but also monitoring application code through Application Performance Management, APM. And for me, being more of an infrastructure IT pro, this was probably an area that I had the least exposure to. I'm not a, wasn't a developer, I'm not a DevOps type person, but it's not that difficult once you dive into it at a surface level. You don't need to really know a whole lot about this except how to enable it and what it does and what types of applications it supports. So don't let that scare you. And then this last piece, creating monitoring reports and dashboards. We're talking primarily about creating reports and dashboards in Ops Manager. So we want to be able to create reports and dashboards and do tracking of service level agreement, service level status. That's what the SLT is, service level tracking, as common reporting and dashboarding activities within Ops Manager. Okay, so sample question. I got to tell you, these exams love little trivia questions, things like, hey, what port does this agent listen on through a firewall or things of that nature? So there's, when I took the exams, I had lots of questions on those. I mean, it's kind of trivia, but it's important in deployment to know what those ports are, but they do ask that. So we're planning a deployment of Ops Manager 2012 agents on our private cloud resource, on our private cloud infrastructure. You're planning on doing manual agent deployments on your systems in the perimeter network. I love these questions that give you clues to other questions. So you're planning on doing manual agent deployments. So later on in your exam, if you got a question on how do you deploy an agent to a machine in a perimeter network, you know you have to do it manually, right? So another little tip. Sometimes you've gone through enough tests, you've probably seen this yourself. Sometimes just going through the questions in a test leads you to the answers for questions that are coming up down the road. Always mark and review your questions if you have things like that that are coming up that you suspect. This is a great exam to do that for. Okay, so what must we do to ensure these agents will install and be available in the Ops Manager console? Choose all that apply. I always hate these questions, but so it's multiple answers. Open port 443 in the firewall, 5723 in the firewall, grant all user administrative privileges, use review new manual agent installations in the pending management view, create a user role, pre-stage the system in the operations manager console. So what do you guys think? So what I would do is I would try to break these answers down into categories. You know it's on a perimeter network. It's a perimeter network, you know, there's a firewall there, so you know we probably have to do something here, right? We have to open up some port, and then we probably have to figure out some way of having Ops Manager learn about these agents that we've manually installed in our perimeter network. So we probably have to do something down here to do that. Granting all users administrative privileges, is that ever a good idea? So we can throw that one out right away, right? Okay. So what do you think? Anybody have a guess?
A-N-E or B-E?
A-N-E, and we also had A-B and?
Alpha, Delta, Echo.
Alpha, Delta, Echo, A-D and E. Okay, well, let's see. So we've got, We've got 5723 for the Ops Manager agent. That's what it listens on. So here's another tip. Although System Center is sold as one product, each of the components still are kind of siloed in terms of how they use agents. So you want to go through, and if there's an agent that a component has, know the ports that it listens on, because they're not always the same. So this is the Ops Manager agent. It listens on port 5723, so that port has to be open in the firewall. And in the Ops Manager console, I think somebody had said D, it's absolutely right. We need to review the new manual agent installations and approve them in the pending management view. So know your firewall ports for each of the agents. That's a good thing to know anyway, but it's certainly good for preparing for the exam. Okay, so we've got monitor resources next. So we've deployed our agents. Now we're going to the part of monitoring, using those agents to monitor our resources. So when we think about monitoring resources with Ops Manager, we're not just talking about servers. We're talking about monitoring network devices, so switches and routers and whatnot, monitoring the virtualization layer as well, the hosts. And with System Center 2012, it supports more than just Hyper-V hosts. It supports Hyper-V, VMware, and Citrix Xen server hosts. I would know how monitoring of each of those types of hosts works, not just the Hyper-V hosts. Private cloud is cross-platform. The test reflects that as well. And then monitoring the application health. That's that APM, application performance management, we talked about a little earlier. Okay, so sample question around monitoring. So we're the private cloud administrator. Our management had asked us to monitor certain network devices in our organization. The monitoring requests must use the most secure options available. Which methods should you choose? So, four answers potentially. Configure a TCP port monitor, a process monitor, an ICMP discovery rule, and an SNMP v3 discovery rule. Anybody know? Exactly, D. Configure an SNMP discover rule. So how did you come to that conclusion? Do you know it, or did you use the process of elimination?
SNMP v2 doesn't have user and password authentication or encryption. ICMP, same process. The other two aren't applicable to network resources.
Very good. So did everybody hear it? So basically, using the process of elimination, you knew that SNMP v3 had authentication as a component of it. ICMP and TCP port monitors don't, and process monitor really doesn't apply to the question. So again, you can kind of work your way sometimes through these questions from a test-taking strategy standpoint. Okay, so configuring and maintaining service management. So this is around System Center Service Manager as the component. So it's about 18% of the exam, and when you're working with Service Manager, the idea here is they want to make sure that you understand some of the basics of service level management, setting up a service level objective, one or more service level objectives, or SLOs, and then incorporating those service level objectives into a service level agreement. Once that's in place, you can then assign problems and incidents against this structure, and use it to also manage cloud resources so that when a particular request is added, it can initiate a request through its connectors back over across your private cloud to ultimately to VMM for deploying application services and using the templates that you've created in VMM for automating that process. So as you're thinking about Service Manager here, again, it's kind of the level 100, 200 view of Service Manager that you want to concentrate in on doing a very plain, vanilla, generic service level implementation. Okay, so sample question. So we're responsible for automating service management in the private cloud. So we need to implement service management, we need to have it automated. So could be, so far, a couple different System Center components, right? Could be one, could be a couple. You want to create a way to have different department help desk teams to be able to respond to incidents for their department only. What should you create in Service Manager? Aha, it told us. So that's nice when the question tells you which component it's asking about. So what should you create in Service Manager to make this happen for the help desk teams? So it's telling us which component, which is nice, but if it didn't tell us which component, we'd want to look earlier in the question, right, and try to pick up clues as to what component it relates to. So choose two. So we're trying to have different department help desk teams be able to respond to incidents for their department only. So A, create a user role. B, create a service offering. C, create a request offering. D, create a queue. E, create a run as account. Or F, create an operations manager alert connector. Okay, so choose two. When I didn't have a lot of experience in service management. I, again, was an infrastructure IT pro. So these types of questions were things that I had to spend a lot of time preparing for. And again, it's kind of the break it down strategy. Understand what each of these components are in Service Manager. This is a great example question because it drills into each of the key components that are involved in implementing a service level agreement and service level objectives. So you want to make sure that you pull this, when you're studying, that you pull this question apart and use the answers as study areas. And ironically, you could make a case for more than two answers. So when they say choose two, always infer that as choose the best two, the most relevant two to what they're asking. So we have two that we need to choose. What do you guys think? A? A is one, yep. Create a user role. And I heard D and B. So D, create a queue in the service manager, or B, create a service offering. So we've got A and D. So I think I heard somebody say A and D. So you guys are doing great. Create a user role in service manager and create a queue. So the reason that it's A and D and not, so here's where I was going. You have to create these other things for any type of service request. So these two, A and D, are the unique aspects that pertain to the specifics of having different department help desk teams be able to respond to incidents differently, because you can take any service requests, any incidents that are open, and drop them into separate queues for each department, and then assign different user roles to each queue for responding to the incidents. Does that make sense? So it's kind of, sometimes you have to dissect these and think about it a little bit, because my initial action the first time I saw this sample question was, oh, there's actually four answers here, but there's really not. It's the two best answers. Okay, well, you guys are doing great. You guys are doing actually better than I was the first time around. So the last exam objective for monitoring and operating is managing configuration and protection. And the areas that we're talking about here are compliance, primarily, updates, and backup and recovery. Now, for compliance, we're focused in on System Center Configuration Manager, primarily. But there's also another compliance pack that I would heavily recommend studying. It's actually outside of System Center itself. It's called the IT Governance, Risk, and Compliance Pack, the ITGRC. It's a separate pack you can download from the Microsoft Download Center, and I would read through at least the first section that provides an overview of it, so you have an understanding of what it's providing to System Center. Actually, if you're in an environment where you have to have governance or regulatory compliance, it's a great pack of best practice guidance all up. But for the exam, just go through that first section. So that's primarily Config Manager. And in Config Manager, what you want to know is that for managing compliance, you can create configuration items that you use in Config Manager for assessing against the configuration of physical or virtual machines. And then you can remediate when things fall out of compliance. You can remediate and repair those. From an update standpoint, managing updates, there's actually two discrete ways that you want to think about managing updates. Because in a private cloud environment, we've got our fabric physical infrastructure, our virtualization hosts and SQL database that the VMM management server is talking to and whatnot for managing your private cloud fabric. And then we have the virtual machines that are running on top of that fabric. What most environments do is they manage updates differently for the virtual machines versus the underlying fabric, because the fabric is critical to the operation and health of your whole data center. You don't generally want automated update deployments going out to your VMM management servers and restarting those in the middle of your private cloud data center or whatnot. So the way that we approach updates is we generally use Virtual Machine Manager has its own update capability for updating the fabric. And it's more of a managed update process where you integrate Virtual Machine Manager with a WSUS server. You pull down and set an update baseline, basically, of which updates apply to your environment. And then you compare your physical fabric components to that baseline and choose a time where you initiate remediation and apply the update. So you can manage that because your fabric is supporting all these other virtual machines and virtualized applications. On the flip side, for the VMs that are running on top of your private cloud fabric, well, those you generally have a more automated update strategy around. And that's where Config Manager comes in, being able to apply an automated update strategy to the applications and operating systems running inside your VMs. So you actually need to make sure you're comfortable with Config Manager's update strategy and the VMM update strategy for this area. And then Implement Backup and Recovery is DPM, so Data Protection Manager. Now DPM is also a tool that can back up many different Microsoft workloads, Exchange and SharePoint and SQL and whatnot. The primary area you want to focus on is how DPM backs up Hyper-V hosts. That's the key for this area. You can kind of avoid all the other pieces. Okay, so manage and configuration sample question. We're the private cloud administrator. We've been asked to provide data recovery protection for a web server in the DMZ. So we've been asked to provide protection, so we know it's which component? DPM, for a web server in the DMZ, in a perimeter network. Oh, sounds familiar to another question before. So what must you do to provide the requested recovery protection? So A, add the Windows backup feature to the web server. B, install the DPM server on the web server. C, run the DPM agent installer on the web server. D, open 80 and 443. E, 161, 162. F, 5718, 5719. So we know it's probably got to be one of these ports, right? And probably something up here. So we've got ABC, one of these. DEF, one of these. What do you guys think? C and F. Very good. So the interesting piece is that a lot of people say A as well. If they know this is one of those areas where knowing DPM, knowing a product really well, can actually come back to bite you, because DPM does actually need the Windows backup feature, but you don't need to manually install it. When you run DPM agent installer, it adds that for you. So the things that you need to manually do are running the DPM agent installer and opening the necessary ports. Great. So that's exam two. So any questions on the first exam, monitoring and operating a private cloud? So you guys might want to think about scheduling that exam this week. You're doing pretty well. So how many questions? That is a good question. If you want to stay around after, we can look up on the objective domain and see if it shows us. Sometimes it's not published information. It depends on how many people go through the exam before they finalize on the locked number of questions that are necessary to test consistently across all of these areas. So, I'm trying to remember. Yes, that's a great. So there are what we call testlet questions. They're case study scenarios where instead of asking individual questions in an isolated manner, They instead give you an overall case study that has, you know, a scenario of the business requirements, the technical requirements, the current network infrastructure and whatnot. And then they'll give you 8 to 10 questions after that against that case study. So the testing strategy that I typically take is I read through the case study information at a surface level first, just to get at least a base understanding. And I use the little notepad that they give you to kind of graphically chart anything out. If the case study information is usually provided in a very text-heavy format, so you can draw out Active Directory domains or private cloud infrastructures that are described so you can visualize it. And then as you read each question, you have the opportunity to go back to the case study and drill, identify the particular details in the case study that are relevant to the question. Don't let them fool you, because they always include a ton more information in the case studies than's relevant to any of the questions they ask, because they're trying to discern whether you as a IT pro can pick through the information that's relevant and the information versus the information that's irrelevant to what's being asked. So they're going to throw in some red herrings, and I've seen a lot of people get stuck on, what do they mean by this? Well, don't worry about it. Come back to it if it's something that you find a question that ties into. Otherwise, just keep going. That's why I only skim through the case study initially. Yep. Exactly. So, configuring and deploying a private cloud. Personally, as an IT pro, I like building things. I actually enjoy this exam much more than the monitoring and operating of private cloud, the first exam. But again, it's up to you. So remember, in this exam, we've got lots of kind of building out our overall system center infrastructure, configuring the fabric, configuring and deploying virtual machines, very VMM heavy for many of the objectives. So let's go through these. So design and deploy system center, 19% of the exam. So when we talk about designing and deploying system center, this is the whole suite. So they talk about a scalable system center architecture. So what you want to look for in particular is how SQL Server works with system center and understand the SQL Server requirements for RTM. There's certain system center components that can coexist on a common SQL instance, and there's other system center components, particularly like the reporting services components and whatnot, that can't coexist, that need their own isolated SQL Server instances. In addition, from a scalability standpoint, you also want to note how the components of each system center piece can fan out. So a little earlier, we looked at VMM and how it has the management server, the library server, the database server, update servers, and whatnot. You want to understand from a scalability, each of the system center components have these sub-components that can be used to scale them out further in larger environments. So primarily, I would understand that for virtual machine manager, for ops manager, for config manager, and for service manager. Yeah.
On the RTM versions, I know the system center had it was spread out on what versions of SQL you could use for config versus ops.
Right.
They
do primarily what I've seen is it's not for Config Manager, it's for VMM and Ops Manager. The two that they go the deepest on are the ones where they start getting into, okay, you're upgrading or migrating or installing and you have these versions of Windows Server and SQL. Which versions do you need? Those types of things. But not so much on going deep on Config Manager, Orchestrator, Service Manager, or App Controller for those other components. Yeah. So, designing a scalable system center architecture, installing the system center infrastructure. Now, there's a couple approaches to installing System Center 2012. There is a unified installer that you run through, and it basically, so it's supposed to go through the process of spinning up every system center component in its own VM. Don't spend time on the unified installer to understand the whole process. Just understand what it is, and it's there. And it's an option. It was primarily intended for pilot and POC lab environments. You're never going to use the unified installer to build a system center infrastructure in a production environment anyway, but just understand what it is. Pay attention, though, to the normal installation process for each of the other system center components so that you at least have an understanding of how each of those components does a base installation. The other piece you want to keep in mind is upgrading for System Center. There's a particular upgrade order that's called out in the TechNet library information, so that if someone had System Center 2007 in their environment, there's a particular order that you need to understand for upgrading those components so that you don't break any of the integration that previously existed. So upgrading, and in which cases you can do in place and in which cases you can do side-by-side migrations. So the order, and then in place versus side-by-side, which components support it and which components do not. Those are the important pieces from that standpoint. Okay, so sample question, upgrades. This is actually ties back to what we were just talking about. So you're currently running System Center Ops Manager 2007. You'd like to upgrade to 2012. Which of the following changes might you need to make in your System Center hosting environment? Choose all that apply. So we've got A, replace a SQL Server 2008 x86 server with a 2008 R2 x86 server, or replace the x86 server with a same version 64-bit server, replace Server 2003 with 2008 R2 SP1, replace Server 2008 with Server 2008 R2 SP1, enable WinRM, enable DHCP on the management server. So choose all that apply. What do you guys think? So C, yep. 2003 can't run as a ops manager server. Yep. How about 2008? What do you think? Okay, so maybe this one. How about SQL? Yeah, exactly. So we need, well, actually.
That's what I was just thinking.
I was thinking you need R2.
R2 is required for VMM.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. Right. And enable WinRM. Exactly. So replace your 32-bit with a 64-bit server, upgrade to 2008 R2 SP1, and enable WinRM. It could, or they could make it a generic question like this. It could be a standalone question as well, because they are providing enough detail in order to choose all of the answers that apply potentially to that environment. You know, when you get into things like C and D, that might be where a case study would help you discern. If it was just three answers, for instance, and they had no Server 2003 servers in their environment, then C wouldn't obviously be the answer. Yep. Yeah, definitely.
So check out that takeaway, though. It says all SC 2012 services require R2 Service Pack 1, which you know is a 64-bit only OS, which pretty much is going to eliminate any SQL, anything that references 32-bit.
So on a... So you're talking about this line here, Windows Server 2008 R2? Right, that's the suite. Yeah, so Windows Server 2008 R2 SP1 is required. You could run 32-bit on 64-bit.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yep. You could run 32-bit SQL on 64-bit Windows Server, yep, for instance.
You wouldn't want to.
Wouldn't want to, but right. Okay, configuring the System Center infrastructure. So, as we go through this, we're talking about the System Center components that support VMM in protecting, in monitoring and managing, and in watching for alerts that they need to respond to with an automated sequence. So DPM, Ops Manager, Orchestrator, and VMM from an agent's installation standpoint. We also, as part of the infrastructure, have portals and dashboards that are across each of these components. So unfortunately, there's not one consolidated System Center-wide portal and dashboard. There's a VMM, self-service portal. Now, keep in mind that in SP1, the VMM self-service portal kind of went away, but in RTM, it's still there. App Controller has its own web-based portal. Service Manager has its own self-service portal for initiating ticket requests, and then Operations Manager has reporting dashboards. So you need to understand the configuration process for each of these portals for getting them up and running once that System Center component is installed. So, sample question. In this case, it's around VMM. So it has, we have as a sample question, you have a virtualization host in a DMZ. Remember, they have, like to test on ports. DMZ that you'd like to manage using System Center Virtual Machine Manager. What ports do you need to open? Choose all that apply. So we've got UDP 5986 from, now this is interesting, we've got directional as well, from the host to the management server. TCP 5986 and 443 from the host to the management server. UDP 5986 from the management server to the host. TCP 5986 with 443 from the management server to the host. So what do you guys, A and B? That's what we think? Well, it's actually D, yeah. And the reason for that, so it doesn't use UDP at all. It does use two ports, one for managing and one for file transfer. So if it's a virtualization host, for instance, and it has to transfer images or templates or whatnot over, it uses SSL to do that. And unlike some of the other System Center products, VMM actually uses a polling mechanism. So the management server actually goes out and polls each of those agents, which is... Exactly. Management server to the host. Yep, exactly. Yep. So configure the fabric. So configure the fabric is largely going to be around Virtual Machine Manager. This is probably, from an infrastructure standpoint, the most challenging objective area because it has the expectation that you understand storage fabric pretty deeply for direct attached storage, for SAN attached storage, fiber channel and iSCSI, for server file share storage, for your library servers to store templates and whatnot. And in addition to understanding that at a foundational level, you also need to understand how VMM brings the storage into your management console from a management standpoint. So the steps involved in the VMM console for adding in iSCSI storage, adding in fiber channel storage and whatnot. In addition, from a network fabric standpoint, primarily with VMM, it's not that we're trying to understand routing and switching and IP addressing and all of that. We're trying to understand how VMM is building logical networks for our virtual machines. So that's actually, I think, a little simpler of an area than the storage fabric, because the storage fabric has the expectation that you have a lot of physical storage experience as well. So you may need to go back and brush up on SAN technology and direct attach technology from a storage standpoint if you're not familiar with those areas. Configuring the deployment of update servers. This is basically a fancy name for WSUS servers. So VMM uses WSUS as its update source. It just brings it into the VMM console so that any of the updates come into VMM and are managed from within VMM for the other fabric components, your physical virtualization hosts in this case. And we've got configuring the compute fabric. So configuring the compute fabric, when we're talking about compute fabric, we're talking about virtualization hosts. So it could be Hyper-V, Server 2008 R2, Server 2012 was not supported by RTM of System Center 2012, so don't let that throw you. SP1 is when we added Server 2012 Hyper-V support, so this is largely going to be around on the Hyper-V side, 2008 R2, from a Hyper-V standpoint.
Do you have speculation yet on R2?
For System Center 2012 R2? Or, so System Center... So the R2 release of System Center 2012, it won't be on the exam, of course, but the R2 release of System Center 2012 will add support for Windows Server 2012 R2 virtualization hosts, whereas SP1 of System Center 2012 added support for Windows Server 2012 RTM virtualization hosts. Exactly. XAMPP's timeline is RTM on System Center 2012. So at RTM, System Center 2012, from a Hyper-V standpoint, only supported 2008 R2 Hyper-V hosts and prior. It didn't support any Server 2012 Hyper-V hosts. So that's something to not get tripped up on. It also supported VMware and Citrix as well. And from a configure the compute fabric standpoint, we're not expecting that you shouldn't expect to be tested on building a Hyper-V host, building a VMware host, building a Citrix Xen server host. Instead, it's bringing a pre-configured set of virtualization hosts into the VMM console and configuring the properties on those hosts through the VMM console. So you don't have to be a VMware expert or a Citrix Xen expert. Having some background and experience on those other platforms wouldn't hurt, but it's not required. The other piece that you want to also walk through, and there's a great guided lab that's out on the TechNet site to walk through this, is in configuring the compute fabric, RTM did have bare metal provisioning of Hyper-V hosts, with the idea being that you could take a base Hyper-V, you could take a new server out of the box, configure its baseboard management controller, so it's like HP ILO controller or Dell DRAC controller or whatnot, put it into a rack, connect it to the network, apply power, and then from VMM, have it boot it, push down a Hyper-V image to it, and make it into a Hyper-V server. So that bare metal process, that bare metal provisioning process is part of this exam objective scope. I would make sure you at least walk through that guided lab to understand the basic process. You may not, I say walk through the guided lab because you may not have actual hardware to bare metal provision, reprovision new servers, but something good to keep in mind. And then the last piece is configuring and delegating clouds. So in VMM, clouds are basically the resource pools that we build out of our fabric components. So if we bring in all of our Hyper-V hosts, all of our storage, all of our networks, clouds allow us to associate resource limits with different collections of virtualization hosts, storage, and networking, and then delegate access to those resource pools to various people within your IT department or various business units. The idea, maybe you have a development team, for instance, you want to give your developers the ability to spin up and consume a certain amount of CPU, certain amount of storage, certain amount of networks for particular dev VM templates or application service templates. So that's the idea behind configuring and delegating clouds, being able to delegate that to other Active Directory integrated, Active Directory authenticated users or groups. So, configure the fabric sample question. Update servers. You have an existing WSUS infrastructure and are now adding System Center 2012 to your environment. What should you do to control host updates in your private cloud? So first we're talking about host updates, virtualization host updates, not VM updates or application updates. And it's one of those choose all that apply and order them. So in the exam, this would likely not be represented as A through G. It would probably be set of blocks, yep, that you have to drag in order from one column to another. So we've got add the WSUS infrastructure to VMM, configure the hosts to use automatic updates. That's kind of a red herring based on what we talked about a little earlier. Remediate the hosts using VMM, configure the hosts to reference the WSUS server through group policy, scan for baseline compliance using VMM, create an update baseline, and configure update sets in WSUS. So when you're stepping, this is a great example of a process type question. So when you're going through the user interface of VMM and Ops Manager, basically any of these objective areas for building your fabric, building, creating VM templates, VMs, application services that have processes associated with them, you want to understand to this level so that you could pick out not only the appropriate steps, but the order in which you would apply those steps. So I think I heard a couple answers. So a couple people said No E, scanning baseline for compliance. What do we think about B? Should that be an answer? Probably not, because we don't want to normally apply updates automatically. So here we go. So adding WSUS, remember VMM uses WSUS. We need to do that first to turn on any of the update management capabilities. Second thing is creating an update baseline. Now, there is actually another step in between these two where we have to synchronize the WSUS server into VMM first to get the list of updates. So if that was in the list, that would be next. Once we have the list of updates, we then create an update baseline for the hosts and apply that to the hosts. We scan each of the hosts against their baseline. That tells us if they're in compliance or not. And then for those hosts that are not in compliance, we can remediate and apply the missing updates. Or part of the remediation process could also be electing to not apply an update. There's a basically an opt-out capability in the VMM console where you can decline or reject an update. And that removes it as a compliance item as well. So that's another thing to keep in mind, because that might be another little tricky scenario that when they talk about remediating, it's not always applying the update. It could be rejecting the update, opting out of it. Okay, so we're almost there to the end. Configure System Center integration is our second to last objective. So in this area, we're talking about taking all those components that we saw in that first big slide that had everything and figuring out which components talk to one another and then why they talk to one another. So which components talk to one another, why they talk to one another, and what type of integration you need to configure to get them to talk to one another. And I say that because we've got all different types of packs and connectors that you need to keep in mind. So you have to make sure you're using the appropriate terminology. So for a service manager, there's connectors to the other products. For ops manager, there's management packs. For orchestrator, there's integration packs to integrate the two together. So you want to know not deeply how to do all kinds of fancy orchestration throughout all those components, but why the components are trying to connect to one another in a private cloud environment, how to connect them, and then a base understanding of once everything is connected, what the functionality is. So configuring private cloud integration, that's what we're targeting from that standpoint. We also have the ability to integrate with SharePoint as well from a dashboarding standpoint. So that's part of the integration that's potentially testable. And then we've got the configure integration of private and public clouds. So this is actually a piece that was added into the exam objective domains. And it was kind of not quite there when the System Center 2012 product RTM'd. But what they're talking about here is being able to support on-premises VMs with VMs that are hosted up in Windows Azure as well. And so some of the things that you want to keep in mind there is that if you see test questions, I didn't actually see any when I went through the test, but if you see test questions in this area, it's going to be very basic Windows Azure. How does it support virtual machines and in what format? And so it's looking for things like, you know, we use a common VHD format for virtual hard disks up in Azure. We can copy them up to Azure. We can copy them down to our local premises and our local on-premises data center. The other piece that unfortunately is kind of indented under here, it should have been moved out. It's not really part of the configure integration of private and public clouds. It's profiles configuration. So the profiles configuration is tied into VMM. And when we talk about profiles in VMM, we're talking about configuration settings that apply to virtualization hosts that we're trying to bare metal provision, to guest operating systems that we're trying to provision inside of a virtual machine, to virtualized hardware that applies to a virtual machine, so what kind of how many processors, how much memory and whatnot. And then inside the virtual machine, after the operating system is deployed, we also have SQL Server applications profiles, and we have web server application profiles as well. We also have another type of profile called Server AppV. Has anybody heard of Server AppV? Yep. What does Server AppV do? You guys know? Application deployment for servers. Yeah, so it's basically it's virtualizing Windows Server services into a way that can be streamed down inside of a deployed VM. So if you have an application, like a line of business application, rather than taking the approach of deploying the VM, the operating system inside the VM, and then doing a scripted install, if you're using Server AppV, it streams that down as a virtualized application that gets its own virtual file system and registry. The cool thing is the reason that Server AppV was introduced there is it offers a lot more control when it comes to versioning different versions of your applications. Because we all know, you deploy something in your private cloud, deploy something in a non-private cloud environment, and the one rule that we have to live by is at some point it's going to change. And we're going to have to manage that change. With Server AppV, it allows us to build the applications completely isolated from the VM operating system so that we can change out those components without having to completely redeploy the VMs. So it's a nice feature from that standpoint. Now, don't get nervous. It doesn't go deep on Server AppV, because Server AppV, again, is its own little packaging process and building process and integration process. You want to know what Server AppV is, though, and where in the VMM console you can add it in to a VM template or a service template. Okay. So, configure integration. Sample question on Operations Manager. So we have a custom line of business application running in our private cloud. It uses a business service running in WCF, Windows Communications Foundation, an Oracle database on Solaris, and a web front end written in ASP.NET. What should we do to monitor the application? So this is talking about monitoring. So we know, even if it didn't tell us, that monitoring is Ops Manager, right? Operations Manager. And so it gives us a few different choices here. Use the Master Operations Manager to model monitoring of the application. Use the Distributed Application Designer to model monitoring of the application. Create three management packs, one for each application layer. Use all three. Replace the Oracle database with a SQL database. That's the answer, right? No. So, C? Any other guesses? So this is actually kind of a tricky one, because it's a new feature that was introduced with 2012 with Ops Manager. It's actually the Distributed Application Designer. So the idea is it's a three-tier application. What the Distributed Application Designer allows us to do is, if it was modeled inside of a service template, it allows us to bring that in to a monitoring, kind of a monitoring template designer that brings in all of those components and allows us to set alerts and operations manager monitoring parameters across each of the components that's running inside that service template. So when you think about a multi-tier application and monitoring, the other piece is that in a lot of cases, they're stressing some of the new features that are in Ops Manager. In the past, before 2012, C probably would have been the way to do it. We would have had a separate management pack that we would have had to manually load for our ASP.NET application, our Oracle database, our middle tier running WCF, and we would have configured them separately. The Distributed Application Designer is kind of doing that for us behind the scenes, but it's more of a managed central interface. Yeah. So keep in mind that If there's a couple choices, and one is the new feature and one is the old way of doing it, it might be that new feature. Last one, configure and deploy virtual machines and services. Now, when we're talking about services inside private cloud, we're talking about application service templates. We're talking about applications that are deployed as those multi-tier applications, not like Windows services, for instance, that are running inside of a VM. So services in the private cloud, we're talking about multi-tier applications that are running virtualized, and we're building an application service template around them. So for configuring and deploying virtual machines and services, we want to have that understanding first of configuring the profiles that are relevant for a virtual machine. So that's hardware, guest operating system, the application profiles we talked about a little earlier, Server AppV packages, again, at a base level. Configuring and deploying a service. That's the process for configuring and deploying a service. If you haven't checked out the service template designer in VMM, You're in for a treat. It's a lot of fun, actually. It's sort of a Visio-based designer tool where you drag and drop your virtual machines and application components on a design surface and connect them together to the appropriate virtual networks and whatnot. Spend some time with that, going through the process of creating a new service template, importing, exporting it, and then taking that service template and deploying it, where it'll actually deploy instances of your virtual machines. We also want to understand the process of versioning our applications after they've deployed, so that if we have updates to apply, a new version of the application running inside of a VM that our developers gave us, we want to know the process of changing the version of that template and then redeploying it so that it will update the components that had a new version applied to it. And then you also want to keep in mind that you can go the other way. Something that's very difficult to do in a lot of environments is, you know, a lot of developers are very good about trying to upgrade and migrate to the new version of the application. What they're very bad at, I've found historically, is giving you any type of backup plan to get out, to back rev to the older version. With service templates, you can version both ways and update, roll forward and roll back. So you can get a cool rollback plan. So test that process out as well, because that could be a great example of a mat, you know, pick all the ones that apply and drag them across in the order that are needed. Okay, so last sample question. Configuring and deploying VMs and services. So this is a good example of the server app V functionality we talked about. Remember, that's packaging up something to deploy it as a virtualized application package inside the VM. So we're building a service template. Which of the following on-installation components are supported by server app V? Choose all that apply. So we've got Windows services, COM plus applications, WMI providers, domain users and groups, local users and groups, SQL reporting services, and iSCSI SAN connections. So one way to think about server app V is, remember, it's packaging up a set of stuff that it can deliver in an isolated manner down to any VM. So one of the things that you want to keep in mind is if there's any components that require connectivity to the outside world of that VM, it's probably not going to be supported by server app V. So which might be easier to say, which don't apply in the list? Domain users and groups, that's a good one, right? Yep. And G, I heard, iSCSI SAN connections, yep. So the only ones that do apply are all the others, yep. So good thing to keep in mind from a server app V standpoint. Okay, so in today's session, hopefully as we walk through each of those domain areas, those objective domain areas, it gave you a good sense as to the coverage, some sample ways that the questions could be asked. And remember, for study materials, you can go out to my blog, keithmayer.com. You can actually download a copy of this deck from my blog today. You can also download a step-by-step study guide. And this other link, study guides, is actually just a link back to the specific area of my blog that has the study guides listed that you can download for the 246 and 247 exam that goes into much greater depth on each of the exam objectives, provides links out to each of the study materials. If you haven't built a private cloud yet and you feel you need a more little bit more context to help you get started, this last link, Build Your Cloud, is actually a 13-module online training program that you can step through that goes through the process of starting from zero and going all the way up to a private cloud environment. So it covers building a foundational structure, building your VMM management components, getting those configured, getting System Center configured, and then building out your VMs and applications and templates. And so that's not going to give you everything you need to master these exams, but it's a great way of building that context. The study guides, if you follow those, use them to check mark the specific areas that you need to study and then reference those resources. These are the specific resources that I used when I was preparing for these exams. So they got me to pass it. Hopefully they'll get you to pass it as well.
Does that Build Your Cloud environment, I know a lot of the Microsoft labs, once you've kind of completed it, you can pretty much use that as your environment to toy around with.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Doesn't
yep.
Like kick you out, yeah, like an hour and a half, I'm sure.
Right, yep, exactly. Yep. Cool. Well, thanks so much, everybody, for attending today. I'll be around in the certification area and downstairs in the learning areas and whatnot. So if you have questions or if you wanted to see any of these areas demoed, I have a remote lab environment. We just couldn't fit the demos into our exam prep time frame. We wouldn't have gotten through all the objective domains. Thanks so much for attending. Hopefully it was good information. Good luck on your exams. Hopefully we'll have some MCSE private clouds either this week or this month, perhaps. Thanks.